Channel 250. This show can be seen on Roku and Roku Fire TV Sticks and Amazon Fire TV Sticks and on Zingo TV on Chromecast and all smart TVs 2016 forward. Please remember to download the Barn Burner and Zingo TV apps in their respective app stores. Both are free on both iOS and Android devices. While you're using them, please remember to rate and leave a comment so we know that you are enjoying them and getting the most out of your usage. So it is a packed show for the OHL experience, and more so than anything else, this is going to be a primarily World Juniors focused episode to tie in the fact that we are heading into the holiday season, and the holiday season means hockey at its best on the international stage. But before we get into that, I do want to touch on a couple of notes from within the QMJHL and the OHL respectively. So with that said, we start with an update from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League and what they have developed into a bubble plan. Last week, I spoke about the fact that they have struggled immensely to get their season going. And so they agreed to terms on a deal that would send about 8 teams to Quebec City at Centre Vidéotron in order to play out what I believe is 7 games in a secured environment, being the bubble formation. Then from there, we'll see how they decide to progress. The money will be there from the board of directors of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League in order to ensure that they can get some of the season done without distractions. So that being said, another team was added to the player pool of involvement. And so that was what I believe to be the Chicoutimi Sauganines, now part of the event after all players and staff tested negative for COVID-19. So they will be joining again the bubble from November 17th to the 27th. And this was announced from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's head office in Longueuil, Quebec. And again, the event schedule now looks as follows between those dates. So on the 17th, we will see 2 games, Blainsville and Boisbriand Armada. And that is against Victoriaville. And then following that, we will see Quebec take on Drummondville. Now, on the 18th, there will be another 2 games, Gatineau-Shawinigan and Chicoutimi and Victoria. 19th, 1 game, Blainville-Boisbriand in Quebec. Then the 20th, we'll see 2 games, Shawinigan-Chicoutimi, Drummondville and Gatineau. Then the 21st, we'll see 2 games, Quebec and Victoriaville, Drummondville and Blainville-Boisbriand. Then we will see 2 games the next day, and that is Gatineau and Chicoutimi and Shawinigan and Blainville-Boisbriand. And then the following day, there will be another 2 games, and that's Chicoutimi in Quebec and Victoriaville and Drummondville. That will be followed by 2 games on the 24th, Blainville-Boisbriand versus Gatineau and Victoriaville versus Shawinigan. And then on the 25th, another 2 games, Chicoutimi and Drummondville, Shawinigan and Quebec. On the 26th, another 2 games, Quebec and Gatineau and Blainville-Boisbriand versus Chicoutimi. And then all the action wraps up on Friday the 27th when Drummondville takes on Shawinigan and Gatineau then takes on Victoriaville. So that is your update on the protected environment. Again, there's still many protocols to put in place at Centre Vidéotron before one can consider the whole package to be a done deal. However, it sounds like things are moving in the right direction. And now so the question is, will the OHL look to adopt the same measures in any form? We have to remember that we have 3 teams in the United States in the Ontario Hockey League, and they are said to be playing in Ontario, in Windsor, Sarnia, and Niagara. But there's still work to be put in there. So obviously time will tell. So, don't take that, or rather take that with a grain of salt, and we'll see what happens, as things progress towards February puck drop. Now, other, house cleaning notes that I'd like to take care of today. First off, Ty Dellandrea, who is from the Canadian national team and Flint Firebirds, was loaned from the Dallas Stars, whom he was drafted by in the NHL draft, to head overseas, just given the uncertainty right now, and is set to return when the NHL puck drop happens, which starts to sound like January, with a lot of rumbling about financial matters currently in effect. So We will see how that happens. Again, time obviously will tell. So Ty Dellandro will not be returning to the World Juniors, obviously. And in doing so, he joins Akil Thomas from the LA Kings and Alexis Lafreniere from the New York Rangers among that group of athletes not to. So, I mean, this is still a stacked roster for the World Juniors, which I am going to get into in just a short little bit. But before we do that, there are some other OHL cleaning notes, house cleaning notes I'd like to take care of. So to that note, we start with Sean Gosling, who from the Sarnia Sting has signed in the ECHL with the Wheeling Nailers. And one of my own writers of the puck30.com, Alex Brown, wrote about it. So I'm going to read through that article fairly quickly. On Friday, November 13th, the Wheeling Nailers announced the signing of Canadian right winger and centerman Sean Gosling. The two sides agreed to terms on a standard player contract for the upcoming season. Gosling played the previous four seasons with the Sarnia Sting in the OHL. Nailers fans will love the special connection of this signing, as former Eastern Conference champion Frank Palazzis held the post last season as Sarnia's goaltending coach. Gosling has improved every season during the 4 years he spent playing major junior hockey. During his first season in the league, Gosling racked up 11 goals along with 10 assists, which made for 21 points. In his final season while sporting the A, Gosling recorded 32 goals along with 46 assists, which made for 78 points. This gave the forward the honors of being named the league's third All-Star team. In a statement from the right-handed shooter, he said on Friday upon signing his contract, "Wheeling is the best opportunity for me as it's a great spot to play and they have a history of moving players up the lineup quickly to the AHL and NHL. I like to score goals and put up points, but I take pride in my own end first and like to be an all-around player." As for the thoughts of Mark French, head coach of the Wheeling Nailers, he said of the team's latest signing, "Sean is coming off of a strong overage campaign with the Sarnia and the OHL. His greatest assets are his puck skills and his speed, and we are looking forward to him contributing to our offense. This signing is huge for the Nailers as they continue to add to their star power on offense, and because I believe any normal season, Gosling would be in the American Hockey League or at least on an AHL contract to start the year." Wheeling's roster is currently comprised of 13 forwards, Matt Alfaro, Cody Bradley, Alec Butcher, Tyler Drevich, Brad Drabot, Kevin Dufour, Andrew Goss, Sean Gosling, and Luke Lynch. This also includes Michael Pellick, Cody Sylvester, and Will Smith. On defense, they have Dryden Dow, Marc-Olivier Duquette, Matt Miller, Chad Duchesne, Shane Kuzmanski, and Dylan McPherson. Wheeling is set to play their home opener on the 12th of December as they welcome the Indy Fuel. So that is one of two OHL-based signings in the last little bit. And with that said, I did do a thread on Sean Gosling myself on Twitter following this signing for those unfamiliar with the player. So to that end, we're going to start here. Okay, so again, he was an alternate captain in his final season in the OHL with Sarnia. What's really interesting about this is the fact that Kelton Hatcher is another overage player from Sarnia, has not yet signed professionally anywhere. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, which route this goes, you know, with time. So anyways, that to be said, I did make some additional notes. As per our own Alex Brown, Gosling has connection to Wheeling and former Sting goalie coach Frank Palazzis. Gosling, 21 years old, was Sarnia's leading scorer in 2019-20. Now, according to Ben Steiner, a contributor to thepuckauthority.com, Gosling was linked to two U-Sports schools prior to making the decision to sign pro. Now, it appears as if Gosling wanted to play, hence the decision that he made to join the Wheeling Nailers. And with the OUA shutting down play for the fall semester and the ECHL working on a return plan, this decision gets him into game action while at the same time beginning his pro career. Now, the ECHL is in the midst of a teardown of sorts, as two teams have already opted out this afternoon, being the Wheeling Nailers and Newfoundland Growlers. More are expected in the Maine Mariners, Adirondack Thunder, Brampton Beast, and Worcester Railers. We'll keep an eye on that, but back to OHL we go. So again, another player signed from OHL standing. So that was Brady Vail, who signed a contract with the Kalamazoo Wings. So I'm going to get right into that. And another article written by another contributor of mine, Gene Pennington. On Tuesday, November 10th, the Kalamazoo Wings announced the signing of American centerman Brady Vail. The two sides agreed to terms on a standard player contract for the upcoming season. Vail stands at 6'1" and 196 pounds and brings good size and a strong skill set to the center position, which for the K-Wings has lacked in prior years. Prior to making the jump pro, Vail spent 4 years playing with the Windsor Spitfires in the OHL. There, he scored 77 goals and 123 assists, which made for 200 points. Vail, 26 years old, enters his sixth full season as a pro and his first in Kalamazoo. Throughout his professional career, Vail has played with the Gladiators, the Norfolk Admirals, Fort Wayne Comets, and Orlando Solar Bears. Most recently, Vail competed with the Cincinnati Cyclones. I mentioned with the Fort Wayne Comets that another former Windsor Spitfire, Luke Boca, is set to open the 2020-21 season there. Now, in 325 contests, Vail has scored 95 goals and 152 assists, making for 247 points. In a statement from Nick Bootland on Tuesday, head coach of the Kalamazoo Wings, he said of the team's latest signing, "Brady is a player who has excelled at our level in every city he has played in. He also played 8 AHL games last season and is still hungry to be better. He plays in all situations and is a consummate professional for our younger players to learn from. The hockey club's roster is starting to take shape, and it certainly appears on paper that the Kalamazoo Wings have added significant depth and a veteran presence at every position. Fans are looking forward to puck drop as the K-Wings are set to return in their second tier opening on January 15th. They'll do so upon league approval, as well as that of the state and local government." So that says, that says that there is hope for some players. But again, with ECHL kind of in the midst of a teardown of sorts, it appears that they're, not everyone is safe. And there is certainly some difficulty with many free agent players, or many players becoming free agents rather, all of a sudden today, with this news. So, anyways, more housekeeping notes, just because, you can never have enough. So, that being said, we're going to go now to OntarioHockeyLeague.com, where things get a little more interesting, but at the same time, a little more World Junior sided. But with that said, I am going to touch on two not really World Juniors notes before the rest of the show turns into the IIHF 2020 World Juniors. So the OHL mourns the loss of Rick Fraser, former Oshawa General, from 1954 to 2020. My condolences and that of the Puck authorities to Fraser's family and friends. He was 66 years old, and he passed following a battle with cancer. A native of Sarnia, Ontario, who was well-known in the hockey community as both a coach and referee, Fraser played 3 seasons in Oshawa from 1971 to 74, patrolling the blue line for the Generals before being drafted by the Chicago Blackhawks in the 10th round of the 1974 NHL draft. The Indianapolis Racers selected Fraser in the 17th round of the WHA draft, as he'd go on to play parts of 4 professional seasons between the NAHL and IHL. The younger brother of longtime NHL referee Kerry Fraser, Rick planted roots in the Ontario Hockey League as the father of former hometown favorite Sarnia Sting defender Jamie Fraser, who has spent the past 10 seasons playing in the Australian Elite League. A Sarnia Lambton Sports Hall of Fame inductee in 2019, Rick was a retired City of Sarnia firefighter who was often seen at the rink watching his grandchildren. The league sends their thoughts and condolences to Rick's family and friends at this most difficult time. So, that puts a wrap on that. Again, it seems like these losses are continuing to come at a little bit too much of a rapid rate for comfort. But, we're in the era of COVID-19. That certainly isn't making things any easier. So that being said, let's move on to a more positive note to start twisting the show towards the World Juniors. Jack Quinn, who is with the national team in Edmonton and Red Deer for the very first time, signed his contract with the Buffalo Sabres on Monday, November 16th. And this is his first professional contract, a 3-year entry-level contract the team announced on Monday. The Sabres selected Quinn with the 8th overall pick in the 2020 NHL draft. The forward is coming off of a 52-goal, 89-point campaign in 62 games with the Ontario Hockey League's Ottawa 67s in 2019-20. So, in a statement from Kevin Adams, general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, he said, "Jack's a Sabre. I mean, I just felt like the work that our staff did in preparing was really important to understand his game. You see the ability for him to keep getting better. His athleticism is high. Just a lot of the metrics that we look at when we're scouting, he met in some. This was just a player of that. The more work we did, the more excited we got." So, Quinn's selection marks the culmination of a unique career arc that began with the winger being cut from AAA teams as a 14-year-old in his hometown, Ottawa. The multi-sport athlete condensed his focus to hockey from that point on, rising to AAA, and then after a season in the Central Canada Hockey League to the OHL with the 67s. Quinn's 52 goals ranked second in the OHL last season and made him the league's fourth player of the past decade to reach 50 goals in their draft year. Buffalo's selection was as much inspired by Quinn's developmental approach as his scoring prowess. So in a statement from Adams, he continued to go on to say, he is what I would say is a really good self-awareness of who he is as a player, and he also has a determination that I see him getting better and better. He has that growth mindset kind of mentality where you could just see it. He wants to get better. He was upset when he was younger that he didn't feel that he was there where he wanted to be as a hockey player, and then he started doing things to help him improve. To me, you see that trajectory and arc, and we're going to be excited to have our player development guys now jump in and start doing work with them, but he's got a big ceiling. So the OHL announced in October that it intends to open training camps on January 23rd in preparation for a 40-game season that would begin on February 4th. Quinn's options as a 19-year-old are to make the NHL team in Buffalo or return for another year of development in the Ontario Hockey League, a common route that 2019 first-round draft pick Dylan Cousins followed last season. Dylan Cousins is currently playing with him in Red Deer, Alberta, in preparation for the World Juniors. So, in a statement from Quinn upon signing his contract, he said, "When I think of Buffalo, I think of a great sports town and a great hockey town," Quinn said after the draft. "I think I was very excited just because of that, first of all, and also I think it was just a great spot. Right away, I thought I'm very excited to be able to try and make this team and be a part of it." So for more information on that, you can obviously visit NHL.com/Sabres. And for a more unique twist on where he is now, you can find my latest story at thepuckauthority.com, which I am actually going to read out in just a few moments' time. So before I do that, however, more house cleaning notes, just because, again, like I said, there's a lot to get to today. So from the Kingston Frontenacs, Martin Kromiak has been invited to Slovakia's World Junior Selection Camp. So with that, a brief story from OntarioHockeyLeague.com. The Slovakian Hockey Federation announced its 45-man National Junior Team Selection Camp roster today, with Kingston Frontenacs forward Martin Kromiak included on this list. The camp, taking place in an isolated bubble in Zvolen, begins on November 30th. So, Kromiak, who arrived in Kingston following the second half of the 2019-20 season, posted 11 goals, 22 assists, and 33 points over 28 games before being selected in the fifth round by the Los Angeles Kings in the 2020 NHL Draft. The 18-year-old from Ilves, Slovakia, was originally selected as the second overall pick in the 2019 CHL import draft. Kromiak, who was named to the OHL's second all-rookie team last season, has represented Slovakia in both the IIHF World Under-18 Hockey Championship as well as the Hlinka Gretzky Cup. He's been on temporary transfer to Slovakia's HK Dukla Trenčín club throughout the opening half of the 2020-21 season, recording 3 assists in as many games. Additionally, Oshawa Generals first round 37th overall 2020 CHL import draft choice David Mudrak received an invitation to the camp. The 19-year-old defenseman has recorded 2 assists in 5 games with HC Kosice of Slovakia's top circuit so far this season. Recently committed Sudbury Wolves second round 91st overall selection Dominic Jendek also received an invitation. The 19-year-old winger has registered an assist in 9 games with HC Slovan Bratislava. So, again, selection camps haven't all started yet, and players are just starting to arrive and prepare. So, again, Kromiak being the latest for Team Slovakia. And before I touch on Canada, another note on overseas, and this is Germany. So, that being said, from the Owen Sound attack, the German Hockey Federation rolled out its preliminary roster for the 2021 IIHF World Junior Hockey Championship on Wednesday, with Owen Sound attack forward Josh Szymanski on the 27-man roster. A 6-foot, 172-pound native of Erding, Germany, the 18-year-old Szymanski recorded 4 goals, 16 assists, and 20 points over 54 games in his first OHL season. The attack signed Szymanski as a free agent prior to the 2019-20 season after he put up 25 points on 13 goals and 12 assists in 54 games of the GOJHL's Brantford 99ers. Prior to his time in North America, Szymanski played his youth hockey career with the Jungadler Mannheim program. He returned to Germany during the COVID-19 pandemic on a temporary transfer to the DEL Second Division's Ravensburg Tower Stars, where he has an assist in 4 games played. Other familiar OHL names included on Germany's preliminary roster include former attack forward Manuel Alberg, former Mississauga Steelhead winger Philip Reisnecker, as well as London Knights' first round 2020 CHL import draft choice and Buffalo Sabres' second round pick, JJ Paterka. The 2021 IIHF World Juniors get underway at Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta on December 25th, that is, with Germany taking on Finland. For more on Szymanski's opportunity, visit attackhockey.com. So, that being said, it is officially Team Canada World Junior preparation time. Apologies for kind of speeding through all of our house cleaning notes, but there's just so much to get to today that I wanted to get through as much as I possibly could. And I will touch on the introductory press conferences from last night, along with my story. So, I'm not done. We have lots to get to. This is something I have a strong passion for. I love the World Juniors more than anything. This is holiday season. This is where it begins. And to be credentialed by Hockey Canada, I'm extremely lucky, thankful, and fortunate. And so I want to make the most of that. And I want to bring that to my audience here at the Barn Burn TV Network and Zingo TV Channel 250. So that to be said, let's get right down and dirty with it. So for Team Canada, 18 OHL players have reported to Canada's National Junior Team Selection Camp at Red Deer, Alberta. So with that said, many of them touched down late yesterday afternoon for a camp that will take place from November 16th to December 13th in preparation for the 2021 IIHF World Junior Hockey Championship. So Canada sets out to defend its gold medal finish that included 10 OHL players returning home from the Czech Republic as World Junior Championship World Champions last January. The puck drops at Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta on December 25th, Christmas Day, with Canada's first action coming on December 26th against Germany. Now, the month-long selection camp will take place at the Westerner Park Centrium, home of the WHL's Red Deer Rebels. It begins with several days of practice and off-ice activity before the first red-white scrimmage on Saturday, November 21st. As has been custom the past several years, a team of youth sports representatives will take on the national junior team hopefuls with 6 matchups included on the camp schedule. Hockey Canada has laid out an extensive plan in the interest of player and staff safety, putting stringent measures in place with regard to COVID-19 protocols. So, a complete look at those efforts can be found at hockeycanada.ca. OntarioHockeyLeague.com will provide coverage throughout the selection camp. So, let's get into it. OHL players attending Canada's National Junior Team Selection Camp looks as follows. Goaltenders are Brett Brocu from the London Knights, Tristan Lennox from the Saugana Spirit. Defensemen are Jamie Drysdale from the Erie Otters, Thomas Harley from the Mississauga Steelheads, Mason Millman from the Saugana Spirit, Ryan O'Rourke from the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, and Donovan Sabrango from the Kitchener Rangers. The forwards are from the Sudbury Wolves, Quinton Byfield, from the Ottawa 67s, Graham Clark, from the Barrie Colts, Tyson Forrester, from the London Knights, Connor McMichael, from the Saugana Spirit is Cole Perfetti, from the Ottawa 67s is Jack Quinn, Jameson Reese from the Sarnia Sting, Cole Schwint from the Mississauga Steelheads, Ryan Suzuki from the Saugana Spirit, Philip Tomasino from the Oshawa Generals, and Shane Wright from the Kingston Frontenacs. In terms of hockey operations, you have head coach Andre Tolini from the Ottawa 67s. Chris Hamilton is Ottawa's equipment manager, and Bob Martin, who is security liaison for the London Knights. So that being said, those who are members of Canada's gold medal winning team from last year include Jamie Drysdale and Quinton Byfield. Anyways, let's move on. Connor McMichael also on that list. Let's move on. The scrimmage and game schedule looks as follows. Saturday, November 21st, red versus white at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, November 22nd, red versus white, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Tuesday, November 24th, red versus white, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Saturday, November 28th, Canada versus U-Sports, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, November 29th, Canada versus U-Sports, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Saturday, December 5th, Canada versus U-Sports, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, December 6th, Canada vs. Esports, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, December 12th, Canada vs. Esports, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, December 13th, Canada vs. Esports, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information on Hockey Canada and Canada's national junior team, please visit hockeycanada.ca or follow along with through social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Twitter/HC_WJC. Make sure you as well, you are following along with my personal Twitter handle at JocelynLevineHBS, at Puck31, and with my colleague at David_Sis, as we look to provide the best coverage for the World Juniors. And I will be hopping on Barnburner Live, I imagine, a couple times to discuss the World Juniors with Joe Pasek right here on the Barnburner TV network. So make sure you are as well, you are following along at BarnburnerNet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So that being said, I've now gone through the players. And so with that note done, I do have three stories to read. But before I read through those stories, I am going to take you guys through the first round of press conferences that took place last night. So sitting in last night were Bowen Byram, Jack Quinn, and Maverick Bork was the first group. The second group was Bowen Byram and head coach Ante Toljanne. So Jack Quinn spoke about doing the little things right when it comes to following COVID-19 protocols when he said to open, "It's a bit of a different year with all the protocols and the stuff we've had to adapt to in regards to COVID-19. It's a challenge." Now, in regards to signing his 3-year deal with the Buffalo Sabres, he said, "It's special to get it done." Talking about his familiarity with World Juniors head coach Ante Toljanne, giving him time in Ottawa, he said, "I know what he expects in practice, what he expects from games, the little things in the system as well. I know things, but I have to show up and execute." And Ante Toljanne later expressed this, which I will read in my story just in a bit. So, talking about keeping himself in shape in terms of not having OHL games during the last 7 months of quarantine, Jack said, "Sticking to the off-season routine, not getting complacent and staying on track with workouts and skates. It's the most intense skate I've done in a while today," which was something that was very much felt by Bowen Byram and Dylan Cousins in my latest feature for thepuckauthority.com, which I will get to in just a little bit. So Maverick Bork only got so much in English. There were only a couple quotes, and one of them spoke on his improvement in his game going into this World Juniors camp, where he said, "I get more faster and stronger, better cardio, off-ice training helps during practice and games." Jack Quinn spoke about what he improved this summer, saying, "I improved the skating a lot this summer, developed my legs and explosiveness, more stable on my feet, also continued to work on my strengths and stick handling," which is something I would bet Ante Toljanne is in agreement with. So that being said, Jack Quinn also spoke about the relief that this World Juniors camp is happening at all after 7 months of not really playing competitively, never mind in big groups. So to that, he said, "It's better for everyone that the camp is longer than it's shorter. Gives everyone a chance to get their legs under them and show their game over a period of time." Jack Quinn doesn't have a roommate yet, but he applauded Hockey Canada for their work in setting up the bubble. They're at a hotel near the arena in Red Deer. So Jack Quinn also said in terms of his game that David Pastrnak is one of his favorite players and someone he models his game after, just when asked, given that he has signed in the NHL for the very first time. And when he spoke on the benefit of a longer camp, given that this year is a unique situation where selection camp has gone from being a week long to 51 days long, he said, "We're looking at it as an advantage. A lot of us don't know each other. This long with all the guys is awesome to get to know them and the systems they are playing. It's a big advantage." Now, this was very much felt in the last presser, so I'll continue on with more details. So that being said, let's move on to Bowen Byram. So Bowen Byram said on what stood out during the first on-ice practice, "It was good. It's been a long time since we've been involved in a competitive practice. Get used to some of the systems that the coaching staff is putting in place." Now, the next thing was when he continued on to say about the difficulties of COVID-19 and never mind this situation, saying, "Not being able to see family. Last year when we were overseas, which was in Ostrava, Czech Republic, a lot of families came over as well. We spent some time with them. Obviously, with the pandemic, it won't be the same. Leaning on one another and the Hockey Canada staff will be huge." So talking about the importance of establishing chemistry in camp, given this is his second go-around in the World Juniors, he said, "Getting to know everyone on a personal basis, there's 40-odd some guys here, so it will be challenging. It takes time, but we have a good long camp to be able to do that." Now, Speaking on Shane Wright from the Kingston Frontenacs, the youngest player in camp at 16 years old, Bone Byram said, "He's my roommate. He's an exceptional player. He's so mature and strong. He doesn't stand out in a negative way on the ice." So that actually blew up on Twitter, which was fascinating, probably just because of his young age. So, you know, the media certainly had a good time with that one. But anyways, Bone Byram then went on to speak about the advice he shared with Shane Wright upon arrival. So that he said, "Enjoy yourself and don't put too much pressure. He's here for a good time." Now, Bone Byram also spoke about what he did this summer to improve, much like Jack touched on earlier, saying, "Luckily in Vancouver at the start of the pandemic, we got into the gym as soon as everything was okayed by health supervisors. Normal workout regimen 4 or 5 times a week." So, anyways, he also continued talking about being in the NHL bubble with the Colorado Avalanche and how that will kind of similar to being in the bubble with Hockey Canada. So in that regard, he said, "I was ready to go and I learned a lot. I was prepared. However, he did not take part in games, but will take part in games in this bubble." So Bone Byram says there's speculation on guys going to Europe. Nothing worked out for him on potentially going to Sweden, where there were talks for several weeks. Now, speaking about what's different the second go-round competing in the World Juniors, he said, "Being a returning guy, you sometimes put pressure on yourself. I'm coming in with an open mindset. I play how I play and things will work out." Speaking about the things that he needs to pay attention to going into a championship team, Byram said, "We were so tight-knit as a group. It made the trip overseas a lot of fun. Make sure we are including everyone and everyone is gelling together. All together." Now, that wasn't all, because Byram was certainly, fired questions for about 10, 15 minutes time last night before Torini stepped up to the podium. So to that, Byram said about getting 7 weeks of high caliber competition, "It's huge. It's nice to have a set date. It's a breath of fresh air. It was a long off season. It felt like a marathon. And this was surely a feeling repeated by many." So, that being said, we continue onwards. Now, speaking on younger guys relying on his knowledge, Byram said, "When I was coming in last year, there were older guys on the team. You lean on them and ask as many questions as you can to put yourself in the best position." And again, Shane Wright obviously being among those, especially as a roommate. So to that end, we continue. That was it for Byram pretty much towards the end of his speech, and Kirby Dach was next. Kirby Dach was also in the NHL bubble last year with the Chicago Blackhawks in Edmonton, Alberta. So this is nothing new for him. And so speaking on the changes of this year's World Juniors camp, where he did not have an opportunity to be last year, he said, "A lot has changed. With the COVID protocols, we have to be more tedious in our details and keep each other safe. On the ice, back to business as usual." Now, Dylan Cousins also spoke, saying, "Lots of time to gel and get closer. It will be good for us in the long run." Speaking of the 51-day camp, where he also said the first camp yesterday was intense, which is a word Jack Quinn also used to describe the first go-round. Now, Kirby Dach also spoke on the hope of the NHL season starting later. That way he can remain with Hockey Canada, given that there's an agreement with the Blackhawks for him to return in the event that the NHL returns during the juniors. And so to that, he said, "Obviously, it's a difficult situation when we don't know when the NHL is going to start. It'll be tough to miss a potential gold medal game. I'm just focused on my time here." Now, Dylan Cousins said on returning to the World Juniors, as someone who's much like Byram is in his second go-around this time in Edmonton, "It's going to take a lot of work. We have to battle and compete in our practices, build chemistry, just work as hard as we can. We have more faces and people than most camps, but we have lots of time to figure it out." Now, Dach also spoke about taking his game to his next level in the NHL, to which he said, "Time off was needed. It's a lot going on in a draft year between regular season, playoffs, U18, combine, and development camps. Took some time off and discovered a new training regimen, which is something a lot of players had to adjust to as a result of the World Juniors." So that being said, Cousins said about how he improved this summer. "The biggest thing was getting my body ready to play a full NHL season. I put on some weight, got bigger, faster, stronger. I'm excited to get going again here." So that was that from Cousins. Now, Kirby Doc being in the NHL wasn't around many guys his age, so being able to return to the World Juniors on agreement with Alan Miller and the Hockey Canada staff, he said, it's a different setting to come back and be around guys my age going through the same things I'm going through. We grew up playing with and against each other. It's fun and nice to be back. So Doc also spoke about not being at the World Juniors last year, to which he said, with the uncertain times of COVID, it gave me the opportunity to do this. When they were doing the bubble format, I got on the phone with my agent to get the ball rolling to be here. Now, Kirby Doc also spoke on playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs and World Juniors in the same venue. So to that, he said, it was a lot of fun, lost a few relationships beating Edmonton. I've played my fair share of games there at Rogers Place, where supposedly he will play should he be able to outlast the NHL in their return and the actual World Juniors tournament. So Doc also spoke about building chemistry in the bubble, which is something that he obviously felt very strongly about his last go around during the summer in Edmonton. So to that, he said, you're around them more. There are less distractions. You don't have to worry about things outside the world. We are focused on one goal, to win a gold medal game. Now, Cousins took recollection of the fact that there's a lot of top players at this camp and a lot of them won't make the team. And so speaking to that talent, Cousins actually said, looking at the roster, there are a lot of guys getting picked really high. They want guys to do whatever it takes to win, to build the team. You need guys to fill different roles. Now, Team Canada has 27 first round picks on this roster at selection camp. Just keep that in mind. That's all. Anyways, so being someone who's returning for a second go-round at the World Juniors, Cousins said he wants to be a leader on this team, and so to that he went on to say, I want to be a leader on this team. I want to lead by example, giving my all to do whatever it takes to win. I want to be one of those guys that people look up to. And Tim, that's very important, especially, again, in it being a veteran of sorts in a second go-round. So Kirby Doc then spoke on the NHL experience and transferring that knowledge to the World Juniors. So to that, he said, for me, it's about being confident in my game. I think all these guys have that. They are great players. It's an honor and privilege to play with these guys. So something notable about Dylan Cousins, and this is a note from my colleague David Siss, who said that he spent time during the offseason skating with multiple NHLers, and he said the most notable of which was Vancouver Canucks player Bo Horvat. So this led to Andre Tourigny taking the podium for the last little bit. And after this, I will read my article on Jack Quinn. There are two other features, one from myself published just about an hour ago and one from the Toronto Star from last week. Don't know that I'll have time to get into those, but I will try and get to as much as I can before the conclusion of this episode. So Andre Tourigny said on the long 51-day camp, having time like this, we are confident to get the rust off, get the guys some rhythm before December, as well working on our structure. Most of them didn't have a season to get the rhythm going. So continuing on, Coach Tourigny said of the two practices yesterday, I like what I saw. At first, they were nervous. They were eager to be on the ice. We could feel the emotion, but it went well. I liked their focus and paying attention to what we were asking. Now, Tourigny said on the veteran players being leaders, that was one of our big messages today. All the players here are star players. We have guys who have been drafted in the NHL. We expect from all of them to set the bar and expectation for our team. Now, Tourigny said about the challenges of the NCAA players skating separately, especially those, they're all coming from the United States. And so Canada was without 12 to 15 players yesterday and will remain so until those players all test negative, therefore can be in camp. So speaking of the challenges that this kind of provides them, Tourigny said, we don't deal with the rules. The most important thing for us is health and safety. They're in a separate group and skating with our skill coach. They will be in super good shape. Now, Tourigny also spoke about Jack Quinn, again, a familiar player to him from the Ottawa 67s, to which he said, he's a guy who competes. Jack is a hell of a player. I know him well and know what he can do. I could feel the nerves and his emotion. He will settle down and get more comfortable. Super smart kid. So Tourigny also said about going into camp with the 27 first round draft choices, we have good players. We will have a lot of criticism. We need guys who can play up front, play bumper, win faceoffs. We need a team and players that can be that can play similar roles. Now, affirming that, you know, Team Canada expects to win the gold medal and defend the world title again, Tourigny simply said, I signed a one-year contract right here, right now. So he knows what they're after and he's not backing down from that stance. So talking on Shane Wright from the Kingston Frontenacs, the youngest player in camp at 16 years old. He said, he's a really good player. This guy is even better than I thought. Every time I watched Shane play, he got better. Now, Torini on the 12-15 players not being there yesterday and when Hockey Canada expects them, Torini said, we want to make sure we are extra careful and we go above and beyond on health and safety. All those guys are in good position. We are waiting on some test results. Now, Team Canada hit the ice at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time, which is just a little bit ago, and the first round of press conferences concluded, and Lapierre from the Chicoutimi Mississaugas of the QMJHL being an invitee for Hockey Canada was one of them at the podium afterwards, and from Dominic Sion, who is the PR guy for the World Juniors, he said that Connor McMichael and Dawson Mercer are in the next round in just about an hour's time. Now, joining Hendrix Lapierre on the podium earlier today was Shane Wright, again, the 16-year-old phenom from the Kingston Frontenacs. So that really drew camp for one day to a conclusion, being the opener to World Juniors. So with that in mind, I'm now going to go into my piece on Jack Quinn, digging into his first experience at World Junior Selection Camp. However, before I get into that, here's what day two of Selection Camp looks like all rounded up. Team Red practice 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time. Team White practice 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time. Media availability, Team Red 11:15 a.m. Mountain Time, which is 1:15 p.m. Eastern Time, which has now concluded, and Team White at 1:15 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 3:45 p.m. Eastern Time. So that being said, we're pumping out all the World Juniors content today, but before I do so, I will make one note in relation to the IIHF, who has canceled more tournaments, according to Ivis Kalnins, who is a writer for Full Press NHL, among other places. He said, European Parliament has advised IIHF against permitting Minsk to host next year's World Championships. We are still hoping to have some positive news in the next few hours as the IIHF Council meeting is taking place. That story can be found at sportsnet.ca. Now, one more World Juniors note before I get into the article side of things. Germany's U20 team will not be receiving more cider, according to a translation from Deutscher Ice Hockey Bund. So that translation says defender Moritz Seider, who is currently playing for Rögle BK in Sweden and whose NHL team Detroit Red Wings has not given clearance for the U20 World Cup, cannot be there. Anyways, we will continue to follow that story closely. But for now, more content at thepuckauthority.com. So practice again underway this morning in Red Deer, Alberta. And according to Ryan Rishog of TSN, he said, players who were not on the ice yesterday who are on the ice this morning at Hockey Canada training camp: Jamie Drysdale, Cole Perfetti, Hendrix Lapierre, O'Rourke, Ryan O'Rourke, Gauthier, and Pelletier. Now, waiting on Thomas Harley, Robertson, Schneider, Quinton Byfield, Dawson Mercer, Ridley Gregg, Simoneau, and Philip Tomasino. Now, Kirby Dock was also on the ice this morning. From Haley Salvian, a note on Tim Stutzel in relation to the World Junior Championship. So that to be said, let's get into that a little bit. So Salvian said, if he stays with the Mannheim this season, the team will release him to play in the World Junior Championship when he's healthy enough to play. This allowing eligibles to play in the World Junior Championship is written in the contract between the DEL and DEB. The organization will, of course, honor that. Now, whether or not Stutzel will be released from his contract with Mannheim to sign with the Sens is still being discussed at this time, she notes. Now, Samuel Poulin was also on the ice at Canada's World Junior team this morning in Red Deer, scoring what seems to be an early candidate for goal of the day. Now, that's just an extra highlighted note. And a story on Tim Stutzel possibly being in the NHL next year, especially given the current situation of both Ottawa and the World Juniors. That story can be found from Haley Salvian at theathletic.com. And in relation to the IIHF, they've canceled 18 more tournaments, and this includes postponing the Women's Olympic qualifiers. Obviously, this is unfortunate, but right now, due to COVID-19, this just seems to be the lay of the land. And 18 more tournaments of international hockey is certainly going to hurt. And whereas they were discussing the rivalry series, perhaps that doesn't happen. I will have more on that on PWHP Over the Glass on next week's episode on Tuesday. Now, That being said, just before this episode, I released a new article called Cousins and Byron Return to World Juniors in Hope of Defending Canada's World Title. I don't know that I have enough time to read through that article, so I will try to get to it before the conclusion of this episode. So let's go into my article on Jack Quinn, because I know I have enough time to read that one. So this one is called Ottawa's Jack Quinn Relishing First Opportunity at World Juniors. So for Jack Quinn, the World Junior Championships are a long time coming in a season full of questions. Well, surely it's his first Hockey Canada event. A familiar face helps to put him at ease. The Canadian juniors arrived in Red Deer late Tuesday, where the team will play out the next 51 days. They'll do so while following strict protocols, which includes wearing masks at all times and social distancing. While challenges can be expected, Quinn said, it's the little things to ensure optimum safety. It's a bit different this year. With all the protocols and stuff we've had to adapt to in regards to COVID-19, it's a challenge. Quinn entered Westerner Park Centrium, having signed his contract with the Sabres on Monday. While this represents the next step for him, Quinn acknowledged the moment amid his first World Juniors experience. It's special to get it done, he said. Having spent the last two seasons with the Ottawa 67s in the OHL, the forward has learned what is expected of him from not only the fans, but head coach Andre Tolini. With that sense of chemistry intact, Quinn hit the ice in Red Deer with a sense of assurance. I know what he expects in practice, what he expects from games, the little things in the systems as well. I know things, but I have to show up and execute. However, like many of his teammates, that comes at a price with no action for 7 months. Despite the hiatus in play, the right winger knows there is a job to get done. Skating for the first time since March, Quinn spoke of the change he has endured in daily regimen. With no OHL action to turn to, the native of Cobden has had to keep himself going. Antsy to reestablish a pattern, he said of his efforts back home during quarantine, sticking to the off-season routine, not getting complacent, and staying on track with workouts and skates. Returning to the ice on Tuesday, Quinn said, it's the most intense skate I've done in a while today. Away from his team through the summer, he did get work in, but in limited fashion. With COVID measures well in effect, arenas and gyms were hard to come by as bookings quickly tightened with one-hour time slots. For many with that in mind, this meant getting creative with their own home-built gyms. For Quinn, this wasn't discouraging, with the opportunity still there to keep training and stay in shape. Allowing him to only get better, Quinn said of the changes and alterations he made. I think I improved my skating a lot this summer. With that long of an offseason, I was able to, you know, kind of develop my legs a little more and add some explosiveness. And with that, also be a little more stable on my feet to, you know, fight guys off in battles and that kind of thing. And, you know, also continue to work on my strengths like my shot and my stick handling as well. Now out in the World Juniors bubble, Quinn looks to apply this to his daily performance. Speaking on the end of himself and his fellow competitors on the change for selection camp, Quinn noted that the 51 days, which officially starts Wednesday, will be taken in strides. Better for everyone that the camp is longer than it's shorter, gives everyone a chance to get their legs under them and show their game over a period of time. With practice set to start on Wednesday morning, Coach Andre Torini knows what he brings to the table. A guy who competes. Jack is a hell of a player. I know him well and know what he can do. I could feel the nerves and his emotion. He will settle down and get more comfortable. Super smart kid, Canada's bench boss said. With chemistry and comfort of importance, the 19-year-old will continue to adjust as things start to shape up, both on and off the ice. The team is staying at a nearby hotel, though at this time, Quinn does not have a roommate. Mentioning the layout at hand, he applauded Hockey Canada for prioritizing their safety. While the next few weeks mark only the starting line, Quinn, much like his counterparts, are seeing the positives in this enhanced opportunity. We're looking at it as an advantage. A lot of us don't know each other this long with all the guys. It's awesome to get to know them and the systems they are playing. It's a big advantage. So, you know, you understand the uniqueness of this, especially for Jack Quinn in his first go around at World Juniors with the Canadian national team, something he hasn't gotten to experience before. So that being said, it's going to be awesome to see what he can do, the damage that he can provide heading into the 2020 World Juniors. I mean, this is, you know, very exciting for Team Canada, surely, especially for Andre Torini, who, unlike last year, was the assistant coach, now has the reins as head coach to run this team back to a gold medal in his way after following Dale Hunter last year in Ostrava. So, again, that was my story from last night at thepuckauthority.com, and I've got about 6 minutes left, so I don't know that I have enough time to read through my latest on Cousins and Byram. So instead, I will just publicize that. You can find it at thepuckauthority.com for your own enjoyment. And I hope to have another World Junior story later today on Connor McMichael and Dawson Mercer. Dawson Mercer is an NHL draft pick of the New Jersey Devils, and Connor McMichael, the Washington Capitals. So we've got about now 4 minutes left. So that being said, I wonder if I have enough time to read this piece in the Toronto Star. No, it's a little too lengthy. So I'm going to save that for next week's episode as well, given that we will again be talking about the 2020 World Juniors Championship. So let me run you through some quick notes on Twitter. And maybe, just maybe, I'll be able to provide a little more insight. So, anyways, that to be said, you know, this is an exciting time. The holidays are always exciting to get that World Juniors, you know, stuff flowing. And, you know, we're gonna have to see, you know, what happens and if they can play this without any concerns of the novel coronavirus having to affect them. So, you know, obviously time will tell, but, you know, we'll see how that takes out. So, anyways, interesting note here from Ryan Rishaug of TSN to close out this episode of the OHL Experience. To that he said, "Nice moment here. 16-year-old Shane Wright skates in to stretch. One of the guys calls on him to slide into the middle and lead. Gets a stick tap from Suzuki. Big smile on his face. Possible number one pick in 2022. Looking to make his mark. A really cool moment. And this entire tournament is really cool, giving guys like that the opportunity to be on the national stage, even at their age. So you know, really special. And it's going to be really unique to see how the rest of this tournament is pulled off. So that really just about does it for me on this episode of the OHL Experience. I know I've got about 5 minutes left, so I will conclude with making some small house cleaning notes. So still not on the ice at World Junior Training Camp. Ridly Greig, Simoneau, and Quinton Byfield. After missing skates Tuesday, Thomas Harley, Robertson Schneider, Dawson Mercer, and Philip Tomasino all skating in second group today. And that is what I believe Team White. So 11 of the 14 missing yesterday are now accounted for, he notes. And that is again in Red Deer, Alberta, for sport check selection camp for Team Canada. So, that's really about it. One thing I will note again on the house cleaning side of things is Torini gathered his players at the end of skate for a word of encouragement, said not to worry if systems were a bit confusing, that they had time to get it all down, told them he was proud of their effort today. Long grind managing player spirits will be critical over the 51-day period, but definitely a strong start. So that being said, Shane Wright was up to the podium. He said on making Canada's World Juniors camp, "Obviously, it was a goal for me last year. I felt like I had a very strong end to the season. I felt like my play last year gave me a chance to make this team, and man, did he ever make this team, and has certainly not looked back ever since." So, you know, he's only going to keep going. But other than that, I will make one final OHL house cleaning note. And so, with that in mind, Brent Clark, yesterday there were rumors that he was just loaned overseas for the season. However, it doesn't sound like he was loaned and that he will spend a full season overseas in Sweden via transfer. So I'm not really sure what's going on. There was an article from FC Hockey that said Brent Clark's transfer to Sweden fell through. So maybe it is a loan now again with Fastvik after it was reported not to be. He was with the Barrie Colts, but even with the OHL season, it seems that I don't know. Seems that there might have been a little bit of a miscommunication of sorts. But, you know, as they look into other options, as it appears that he might not be headed to Sweden now. His agent did say to Josh Bell from what I believe is the Hockey Writers. No, sorry, that is FC Hockey. He said, "Brent was excited for the opportunity. We are currently looking into other options." So, you know, this is a difficult time, obviously, for junior players of all sorts. And, you know, the surprises, you know, they don't lessen. This is part of the grind. This is part of what happens. So, nothing really more to say there. But you know, we'll be keeping further eye on Team Canada with the World Juniors selection camp now well underway in Red Deer. Make sure you are following along with my work at thepuckauthority.com and on Twitter at Justin Levine HBS. And, you know, I'll have all sorts of updates here on the Barn Burn TV network and guests to talk to. I have Craig Button on Monday to chat with me off of Barn Burner on the Puck Authority podcast. And I will bring his insight to Wednesday's episode of the OHL Experience and where the team stands after their first round of games have been concluded. So that does it for me on this episode of the OHL Experience. Again, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Justin Levine HBS and at Puck 31, at Barn Burner Net on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and at thepuckauthority.com for all your insight as the World Junior Championship Sport Check Selection Camp continues. So again, that really wraps up this episode, and I will be back next Wednesday at the same time. See ya.